This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Patriots destroy Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts here today at Gillette Stadium by a score of 59-24. This was a team that came in on a four-game winning streak, a red-hot rookie quarterback drafted first overall. A lot of people, such as myself, at least thought this would be a tight game. Mark Sanchez, Ryan Fitzpatrick played the Patriots down to the wire in the fourth quarter in each of the last couple of home games for New England. I don't know if the Patriots got tired of it. I don't know if the Colts just aren't as good as advertised. And we poked holes in them on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. That four-game winning streak was largely constructed by beating mediocre to poor teams. So they probably aren't as good as they looked on paper in the first place. But I didn't think they were this bad. 59-24, Patriots match a franchise record with 59 points in this one. They set it in 2009, that 59-0 demolition of the Tennessee Titans. You remember that game as well. They also picked off Andrew Luck three times in this game, forced a fumble. The defense made some plays, be it the secondary, be it the front seven getting some pressure on Andrew Luck throughout the course of this one. We also got some surprise contributions for the Patriots as they improved to 7-3, 4-1 here in Foxborough with a 59-24 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You guys know the drill. You can get in touch, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We want your thoughts on what this win means for the Patriots. We spent a lot of time last week talking about, could this team go and run the table in the second half again? And this was a game that some of you pointed to as a potential speed bump for the Patriots. This one was cleared pretty easily. The hurdle was cleared pretty easily for the Pats. They're now 2-0 in the second half of the season. You will hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in about 25 minutes on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You'll also hear from the Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Another strong performance from him coming up here in a little under an hour. And, of course, we'll get to all of your feedback throughout the course of the program. But first, as we like to do each and every postgame show, we'll kick it off with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
A lot of good to choose from in a 59-24 destruction for the Patriots. But we'll just hit the highlights. There are way more than three, and honestly, I mentioned a strong performance from Tom Brady. He didn't make my good list. I thought other people outperformed him. And to me, you have to start here with Julian Edelman. 222 all-purpose yards. And he did it really legitimately in just about every facet of the game. This is a guy who's played defense in the past, really made his presence felt today on special teams. A 68-yard punt return for the Patriots. Also had another 49-yarder. The first one went into the end zone and really got the Patriots back into this game. It tied things up at 14. They eventually jumped in front right after that. So I thought that was a major momentum changer early in the game. He also had five catches for 58 yards, another touchdown from 2 yards out, a 47-yard reverse. He got in on a fumble by T.Y. Hilton on a punt return that was eventually recovered by the Colts. And we mentioned over 200 all-purpose yards. I think he has to be at the top of the good list for the Patriots today. Also on that list, someone who's been popping up on it quite a bit lately, Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, 7 catches, 137 yards, 2 more scores from 4 and 24 yards out, and the second of which you could argue was the final dagger for the Colts. It was right after the Ninkovich forced fumble of Andrew Luck. Patriots had a short field, and on the first play of that drive, Brady found Gronkowski, made it 38-17, and it was all cosmetic from there. Gronkowski also the first tight end in NFL history with 10-plus touchdowns in three straight seasons. I thought he's been uncoverable, and it looks like he's getting healthier and healthier for the Patriots. He was hampered earlier in the season. He looks healthy to me, and he proved it again today. Also on the good list, for the second straight week, a guy who typically is an unsung hero on the Patriots defense, I thought Vince Wilfork was immense again. Two tip passes in this one. He also was the reason that Andrew Luck sailed his first throw or his first interception that went right into the arms of Aqib Talib. Excellent return by Talib, coast into the end zone from 59 yards out. But Wilfork was the one who, in my view, made the play. Forced a poor throw from Luck, and Talib did the rest. Highlight reel return. But I thought Wilfork made that play, and that put the Patriots in front at the time, 21-14. And some of those tip balls from Wilfork were big early on in the game as well. So I thought he played a strong, strong game in the middle of that Patriots defensive line. On the bad list, we just mentioned the name, and I will throw this out there first. I think he had some tight coverage today. The interception return, once he caught the gift throw from Andrew Luck, the return was phenomenal. You know, you haven't seen that type of playmaking in the Patriots secondary. So Aqib Talib's the guy I'm talking about, of course. However, he was targeted quite a bit today by Andrew Luck, and in coverage, didn't really hold up his end of the bargain. By my rudimentary math, and I tweeted this out earlier, if you follow me on Twitter, at AdamJonesESPN, I tweeted this out earlier, and, you know, I could have missed the catch in there. I could have screwed up the yards. Perhaps I credited the wrong thing to the wrong player. I'm not saying it's an official stat, but by my math, he allowed six catches, 118 yards, two touchdowns, both of which went to T.Y. Hilton from 41 yards out and 14 yards out. He allowed three catches to Hilton, one to Reggie Wayne, and two to Brazil, whoever that guy is. So I thought he struggled in coverage today, which is disappointing. Had the highlight reel interception return, but struggled in coverage, in my view, did Aqib Talib. He was on the bad list, as was Kyle Arrington, who's been all over it all season, going back to the preseason. Today he was demoted not once, but twice, right? Started the game at right cornerback opposite Talib over Dennard, which I thought was a complete and total head-scratcher. And after the first drive, Belichick thought better of it. After that first drive, when Arrington gave up, just got torched, and was called for a pass interference, which actually was smart. He just dragged Donnie Avery down because the thing would have been a sure touchdown on the opening drive, but got torched on a pass interference. He got demoted to sub-packages from there, and then he was demoted again below Marquise Cole, who came in and was your nickel guy after that. So twice Kyle Arrington was demoted in this one. He struggled, and this is a guy who tied for the NFL's lead last year in interceptions, and he has had a long, rough go of it this year, and this was a continuation of that. So two corners on the bad list. Also, Stephen Gostkowski. He's had that bounce back these last couple of weeks, but today, the missed field goal from 42 yards out at the time could have pulled the Patriots within four. They were down 14-7. Seemed like a big miss. We're not going to let him off the hook for a missed field goal here. So that was my bad list from the game today. And the injured. And perhaps I missed something else, but the only injury I caught today for the Patriots, outside of your regular dings and bumps and bruises, was Chandler Jones, who left the game early on, first quarter I believe it was, with an ankle injury, and didn't return. Now, that's a significant blow to the Patriots' defensive line, but this was pointed out on Twitter, and I would lend some credence to this theory. Once Chandler Jones was out of the game, maybe it opened things up a bit for Bill Belichick in terms of dialing up pressure, bringing it from the secondary a little bit. We saw it a couple of different times. Dennard came on a blitz early in the game. Kyle Arrington came late in the game. So we saw some of that from Belichick today, and I thought, just watching, you know, the TV copy here in real time, it seemed like they dialed up a little bit more pressure, and perhaps not having Chandler Jones in there and feeling like you couldn't get a push up front, which, in general, the Patriots didn't today. You got the sack from Ninkovich. That was it. And it was a big play, but that was it. You didn't get much push up front once Chandler Jones was out of the game. So it's understandable why Bill Belichick would try to dial it up a little bit more, and I think they did. Still, with that silver lining, you don't want to lose Chandler Jones for any stretch of time. And on a short week with the Jets looming on Thanksgiving, you have to wonder if his status is in doubt for that one. Again, the Patriots torch Indianapolis today, 59-24. You can weigh in with your own three up, three down, or good, bad list, if you'd like, from this win over the Indianapolis Colts. You can do that here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. And Sun Life can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. This game today, and we talked about some of the players who were good and bad. The main guy who I would think is going to be in the crosshairs here today, you know, outside of compliments for Edelman and the Patriots offense in general, and even Dennard, who I thought played better today, had a huge breakup, had the 87-yard interception return that I didn't touch on in good, bad, and injured. Outside of some passing compliments, I wonder how Patriots fans are going to see Aqib Talib from this performance today, because the return was highlight reel stuff. Making guys miss in the open, you could tell he is a playmaker, which we've been told. And still, it was a bad throw by Luck. It sailed, and I thought Wilfork made that play happen, but you still got to come up with it. And then he was electric on the return. So you can see a little bit of that from the Patriots, and they rotated him in and out, as Nance and Sims pointed out on the broadcast. They didn't have him play wire to wire because he's been suspended the last month of the year. Maybe he's trying to get into football shape, or maybe the Patriots just wanted to work in other people at the position, though I would guess it's the former. But I'm curious your thoughts on Aqib Talib, his first game today. Aside from just this Patriots win and what it means going forward, a dismantling of Andrew Luck and the Colts, who came in on a four-game winning streak, I'm curious to see your first impressions of Aqib Talib, because to me, total mixed bag, and I would err more on the side of the negative with Talib. Was targeted by Luck, was torched by Luck for two Colts touchdowns, did have the interception. So again, you can weigh in. 508-298-0398, it's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. My sense, my guess, we're going to get a wide range of views on Aqib Talib from today's game. And I'm curious to hear from you here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on patriots.com. Let's kick things off on the phones with Joel in Atlanta, Georgia. What'd you think of that game today, Joel?
I thought it was great, to be honest. And, you know, Adam, I normally agree with you, but as far as with Talib, I disagree.
Okay.
He did things, yes, that was positive, and he did things, yes, that was negative. But I'd rather have him back there than McCourty. So I think a lot of callers are going to agree that, yes, he did give up some plays, but there's a positive side. I mean, the kid hasn't played all year.
Well, I mean, Joel, and I'll let you continue, but that's shifting the argument a bit. I'm not saying cut him, and I'm not saying demote him. I sort of feel similar with Talib as I do with Dennard, and I came in and said it the last couple of weeks with him because I thought he had a rough couple of weeks before a nice bounce back performance here today. I'm not saying cut him. I'm not saying move on from him. I'm not saying he's not any good. I just think that first impression that we saw of him today, he was targeted a lot. Again, my rudimentary math, but six catches, 118 yards. We know he was involved on two touchdowns. One was a 41-yarder where he was torched by Hilton down the field. Also got a flag on the play, which, of course, was declined. So I just think in coverage, he struggled a bit more than I anticipated. That's all I'm saying. Not saying cut him. Not saying demote him. I think he deserves to stay out there at corner, certainly, Joel.
Right. Of course, yeah, he gave him some plays, but I mean, you got to at least give him another few weeks to get acclimated to our defense. But I think, I mean, overall, I think the Patriots defense played well. We got, you know, put a lot of pressure on Luck, which, you know, I like where we're going with this. If we can keep the momentum like we played today and play teams that have a better record or better players than the Colts, I think we have a good chance of maybe taking it all the way. You know, normally, beginning of the year and last year, just seeing how our defense played and then seeing it now, even though it's just one game, but it's a huge improvement. You've got to say that.
No, well, Joel, that I totally agree with. And I appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. I'm not going to be one of these people who comes in and cites Andrew Luck's passing yards today. I'm not going to do that. Threw for 334 yards, but it took him 50 attempts. He had three picks. He had another fumble. I think the Patriots defense in general did play pretty well. And I think especially after they demoted Arrington and got Dennard back in there, the defense looked a lot different. And Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe is the first person I saw tweeting this, and I didn't see it with my own eyes, so I'm going to take his word for it. But on the sideline, after the Colts, on their first two drives, remember how the game started? Colts go 7 plays, 80 yards. Carter runs it in from a yard out, 7-0 lead on the Colts' opening drive. Patriots tie it on a Gronkowski 4-yard touchdown. And then the next drive, 10 plays, 84 yards, 14-7 Colts lead after Tlaib is beat by Hilton for a 14-yard touchdown. That's two drives, 17 plays, both 80-plus yard drives. And according to Greg Bedard of the Boston Globe, after that drive, Belichick went over to the defense and spent a good 5 to 7 minutes drawing plays up on the grease board. He had already demoted Arrington after that point, at least to nickel corner, and wound up demoting him even farther. So I wonder if that had an impact. I wonder if just the personnel shift had an impact. But certainly from those first two drives to the rest of the game, it was quite a bit different. The Colts added a field goal before halftime, and Vinatieri missed another one before halftime, so it's not like the Colts weren't driving. But they also had an interception return for a touchdown, and then the Colts did some damage late. You know, Hilton's touchdown came in a 45-17 game, his second touchdown where he burned Tlaib. So if you want to say, look, yes, he had a rough day in coverage, but the biggest play, or I guess the worst play defensively by Tlaib, the 41-yard touchdown by Hilton, maybe he wasn't totally focused because the Patriots were up huge, I'd buy that. You know, I don't agree with it, but I at least hear the argument. So I guess if you want to put it to me that way, I'm not saying bench him. I'm certainly not saying that. And I do think the defense had a strong day. It'd be hard to argue it any other way. They had 3 picks, another forced fumble. You know, Ninkovich had the sack. You returned 2 interceptions for touchdowns. I'm not sitting here telling you you had a bad day on defense. I haven't cited Luck's stats or the yards he gave up. I'm sure people will do it. Oh, you gave up another 300 yards through the air. We know the defense gives up yards through the air. This is how you want him to play. You want him to create turnovers and do something with the turnovers and be electric. And both Dennard and Tlaib were today. So I'm not going to sit here and crush the defense in general. I think as a unit, they played pretty well. I just thought Tlaib struggled in coverage. And, you know, I wonder if the interception outweighs that for Patriots fans. And again, you can weigh in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's check in with Brandon in California. What'd you think of that performance today, Brandon?
That was a real good game on the defensive part. The thing with Tlaib, I think he had a good game, decent game. I'm not going to say it was like real good, but like a lot of the passes that was thrown on his sides was like flats, and he was dropping back in coverage like 10 yards deep. So, you know, he was giving up those 5 and 10 yards passes, but he was with his receiver most of the time except that 41-yard touchdown pass. But the play before that, Dennard was burnt too. So I think they're just, I guess they were too relaxed. And, like, the other thing with Chandler Jones, like, when he was injured, it looked like he showed no pain at all.
So that was weird, right, Brandon? You're right. I mean, I was monitoring the tweets and watching with my own eyes here in the studio, and it's like, most of it seemed like, oh, he's moving around okay. He went into the locker room. He came back out, and then he went into the locker room again, I guess, for x-rays. Yeah. And I guess the returns weren't good for what the Patriots saw. And look, if it wasn't a short week for the Patriots now, again, they play the Jets on Thanksgiving, 4 days from now.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't a short week, I guess I wouldn't speculate on Chandler Jones's availability for that game. But the fact that it's a short week on the road, it's probably going to be a tough turnaround for him after he left this game.
I think the reason why he stayed out is because it's a short game, and the Colts, yeah, you could say they're a good team, but I think Belichick has faith that they could come out on top of this game without him.
Certainly.
So I guess, you know, they probably arrested him for next game.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
not that, then the week after, you know.
Yeah, and it could be that, Brandon, and I appreciate the phone call. Again, that's not how I see it, but sure, we don't know what his availability will be, and my sense is we're not going to figure that out for quite some time. So if that's your belief, fine. Maybe they held him out. I don't know. I don't think the Patriots tend to do that a lot, especially not that early in the game. When Chandler Jones left, the game is still close. It wasn't 45-17 at that point. It was a tight game. So I don't share that viewpoint. But look, the Patriots defense, and maybe it is schematic. Maybe it is Belichick not being able to rely on what he thinks is that front push by Chandler Jones. And with Jones out of the game, he decided to get a bit more exotic and decided to bring a few different blitz packages. Again, there are two off the top of my head where the Patriots brought guys from the secondary. Dennard came on a blitz early on in the game. And we also saw Arrington do it late. And, you know, I'm trying to remember where the Dennard was, or the Dennard play was. It was that third drive. It was on the three and out, the first three and out of the game for the Colts, which forced the first punt of the game, and Edelman returned the kick for a touchdown. Third drive of the game, Dennard pressured it. Will Fork got a tip, rushed him into a throw. And then late, I mean, the game is out of sorts at that point. It was actually right before the T.Y. Hilton touchdown, so it was 45-17. But he brought Arrington on a pressure. I don't think we've seen an awful lot of that from the Patriots. And perhaps some of it has to do with Chandler Jones being out of the game. Now, I don't want to spin it and say, you know, you can get by without Chandler Jones or it's a good thing or anything of that nature. I don't know any Patriots fans who would feel that way. But maybe they do get a bit more creative and dial it up a bit more when the guy who's led the team in quarterback pressures and sacks this year is out of the game. And I think we may have seen some of that today from that Patriots, you know, back seven with the linebackers in the secondary bringing a bit more pressure than we're accustomed to seeing. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I will say this. Anyone who's disappointed with the defensive effort today, I am not one of those people. I am disappointed in aspects of the defense. You know, Tlaib, of course, all eyes are going to be on him. It's his first performance today, and Arrington was abysmal. But I don't really know how much more fans would expect out of this defense at this point. Like, you gave up 24 points. Seven of those were late when the game was already out of hand. You had a billion turnovers in this game. The pressure wasn't, again, up to snuff, but they were dialing up a few other things. I don't know what more you expect out of this defense. They're going to give up passing yards. They're going to give up yards, and most of the season they've been giving up points as well, which I guess is scary compared to last year. But what more do you want out of the defense if you're disappointed in it today? And my sense is most Patriots fans won't be. They shouldn't be. But if you are out there, you know, what more do you want? And we haven't heard any of that yet on the program. I don't think we should. I think the defense in general gave you a good performance. There were a couple of guys I singled out in the secondary who have struggled. And Tlaib is the guy in everyone's crosshairs. You got to see him for the first time. What'd you think? 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's check in with Joe in Pennsylvania. What'd you think of that game today, Joe?
I loved it. It was great to see. Adam, I've called a variety of times, and I've always said that the defensive pressure with the blitzing has should be used more. And as you just mentioned, in regards to the first two series, it looked like Belichick and the defensive coordinator were changing their philosophy. And it was nice to see the same type of defensive philosophy that kills us as Patriots fans against Tom Brady with pressure up the middle. I thought Brandon Spikes made Luck think or second-guess a lot of his decisions. And the second thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention is the offensive line did an exceptional job today in regards to protecting Brady in regards to the pass offense.
Yeah, and Joe, I appreciate the phone call. In terms of protecting him, I agree. I think Solder had one rough stretch where he gave up a couple of holds, if memory serves. The second drive for the Colts, which the Patriots wound up missing that field goal from Gostkowski. There was a holding play by Solder early on in the drive, and then another one that was declined. So other than that, and that's nitpicking, I don't think there was a lot wrong with the offensive line. I would tend to agree, especially when you factor in no Connolly, no Logan Mankins. You're down both your starting guards. And for the second week in a row, or I guess for the last game and a half, you've had Nick McDonald, Donald Thomas come in, and you wouldn't even notice. You know, if nobody told you that Logan Mankins wasn't playing left guard and Dan Connolly wasn't playing right guard, Patriots fans wouldn't notice. So now that's a compliment to those guys, by the way. So I do think they did a nice job protecting him. Like I said, other than those couple of holds by Solder, I don't remember a lot of issues for the Patriots. There was that one play down by the goal line where Brady got happy feet, and Gostkowski had to settle on a field goal from 31 yards out right before halftime. Other than that, I can't really remember too many pressures on Brady, and outside of the couple of holds, one of which was declined on Solder, I don't remember a lot of penalties on the offensive line either, which is a good thing. Let's continue with the phone calls. Vinny is in Michigan. What'd you think of that defensive performance today, Vinny?
Hey, I'm pretty happy with the combination of Tlaib and Dennard. I think that's going to be a good combination. I give Tlaib a pass. Besides the fact he was off 5 weeks, that touchdown he made was nothing short of incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the two touchdowns he was burned on, the first one was the perfect throw. You could see like, his hand was like an inch away from the ball, stretched out. That was pretty good coverage. And the last one he got torched, I think they were bringing the blitz, and there was no safety. He kind of stumbled. So I give him a pass on that one, too. And I just want to say, I'm thinking nobody's giving Brady any MVP talks, but, I mean, the guy's 7-1 touchdown interception ratio. He's going to have probably close to 5,000 yards again. I don't think he's getting the credit this year.
Well, and Vinny, we touched on this a bit on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and we appreciate the phone call. I just think it's too early to really definitively give it to anyone, and I know that's not what you're doing in terms of the MVP. I think at this point, Brady's in the mix, and December is going to decide a lot of that. The last 4 or 5 games, the playoff race, how you look down the stretch, that's going to decide it. Brady certainly played his way into the discussion. So I just think the NFL is a little different than Major League Baseball, for instance, where MVP seems like it's monitored month after month after month. We just went through it with the Miguel Cabrera-Mike Trout debate in the American League. That thing went on for months. You don't really have that in football. So I wouldn't get too discouraged about that. If Brady keeps playing like he is and the Patriots keep winning, he'll be there in the end for MVP talk. On his point on Tlaib, I agree. He deserves a pass in that he shouldn't get demoted or anything like that. I'm certainly not calling for that. And I do believe, regardless of what he showed today, he's going to be one of your best 4 defensive backs. I've advocated for this before on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. I've done it on the pregame show as well. I did it earlier today. I think your 4 best DBs are Tlaib, Dennard, McCourty, and Chung when all 4 are healthy. Those are the 4 I'd want out there. McCourty and Chung at safety, Dennard and Tlaib at corner. So I'm not saying bench him, and I'm not saying he's a disaster back there, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a second chance. What I am saying is that out of what we saw today, I just think there was more bad than good. That's all. It's one game. More bad than good. That's all I'm saying. But he doesn't deserve to be benched. He certainly deserves another chance. I completely agree with that. Let's go to Al in New Jersey. What were your thoughts on Tlaib's performance, Al?
Well, it was a great game. I want to start off by saying this was Brady the teacher and Luck was the student. As far as Tlaib, I'm going to give him a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm going to give him a pass, it's his first game. He was out 4 games, so let him get into the Pats defense. Let's see the next game.
And Al, I meant to point this out earlier, and sorry to jump in. Yes, it was his first game. Let's not forget, because he was suspended last week, he did get an extra week of practice under his belt before he got out there to play, which most players aren't going to get if you're switching teams midseason. I know that's minor, but I did mean to point that out earlier.
Right. Now, also, you know, and this is what I believe. I believe your secondary is only as good as your pass rush. And you saw today when they got after Luck, the secondary played a lot better, less time to throw. And to me, the secondary, even though they do play bad at times, I think with more of a pass rush, the secondary will play better. Tlaib, McCourty, I think the defense is really going to step up. But, you know, something I like to say here also,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we talk about the takeaway of the Pats, which I think they may lead the NFL in as far as I think they must have about 20 takeaways now. And that you have to say something about that because what you're really saying is they don't give the ball up. I mean, they're taking the ball away from you, so they're not only scoring points for themselves, they're taking the ball away from you. And I think that's part of defense also. So when people talk about the bad defense all the time, I mean, that 20 takeaway is a big stat.
Well, and Al, I agree with that, and I appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. Two things. I believe the Patriots entered play today, and I don't have this number in front of me, but I believe it was 7 turnovers. They had none today. They forced 4 more. So that turnover differential is going to be going even more in the Patriots' favor. I said this on the pregame show today. I believe I said it last week on the postgame show as well. It reminds me a little bit of 2010. And I remember saying this on the radio at the time. I was talking myself into that defense in 2010, McCourty's rookie year, where they went 14-2, won all their games in the second half, lost to the Jets in the first round of the playoffs. I talked myself into that defense, and I said, you know what? They're giving up yards. They're even giving up some points, but they turn you over. And that's going to be what they do. The Saints had done it the year prior to that or 2 years prior to that, whatever it was. And I talked myself into that defense being a ball-hawking, turnover machine defense. And it went poof in the postseason. And I would like to see them improve a little bit more across the board. Maybe the addition of Tlaib will help. Today, again, I thought it was more bad than good. As electrifying as that interception return was, I thought it was more bad than good. But maybe he'll help. Maybe McCourty staying at safety will help solidify things. I don't know. But that's the one thing I will say. Yes, they're creating a lot of turnovers. They did in 2010 as well. And they relied on those. And when they went away in the postseason, they were one and done. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I see you guys hanging out. I promise we'll get to you. We want your thoughts on Aqib Tlaib, your first look at him in a Patriots uniform. What do you think? Was it more bad or more good? Also, what does this win over Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts, 59-24 today in Foxborough, what does it mean for the Patriots going forward? We'll get to those questions and our answers to those as well as Patriots head coach Bill Belichick from the podium coming up next here on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Patriots stomp out the Indianapolis Colts today in Foxborough, 59-24. That ties a franchise record for the Patriots. They also had 59 points in 2009, a shutout of the Tennessee Titans as they improved to 7-3. It's Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll get back to your feedback, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll also head to the podium shortly and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. But first, want to welcome in a member of that victorious Patriots defense. They forced four turnovers of Andrew Luck today, including a forced fumble. And the man joining us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Rob Ninkovich, one of the guys, or the guy, who forced that fumble today. And first of all, Rob, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
When you look at that performance today, with the couple of interception returns, your forced fumble, how would you describe the performance today?
You know, I think that we did a great job of obviously, getting a little pressure on Luck, not letting things kind of, be able to see everything that's going on and, kind of pick out what coverages we were in. So I think that was good. I think that, we did a good job. There's some things in the first couple of drives I wish we would have, tightened up a little bit. But again, that's, something that, you're kind of getting their best shot in their first 14 plays, so I think that, it's a good game to build on. I'm happy with the performance. There's always a couple plays here or there that you'd like to have back. So, that's just part of football.
You mentioned those first couple of drives for the Colts where they started out and went down the field to open up the game on each of those first two drives. There was a period after that where Bill Belichick had the whole defense huddled up on the sidelines and was drawing up plays on the grease board. What was the message from him there?
Just settle down. We're gonna rewrite in this thing. We're fine. Next drive, let's go out there and, tighten up a little bit and not have the same mistakes twice. So, early in the game, you got to just settle down a little bit. And, that's part of football. You come out in the first drive, you're kind of expecting some of the things that you've been working on all week. And, it's just one of those things that I think we just had to settle in and, we made a few plays there, that helped us kind of just get comfortable and then we're able to go from there.
How often would you say Belichick does that sort of thing in game?
He does that a lot. I think that, you don't see as much, obviously on TV because they're not always on the sidelines, but, he always, comes up to us as a D-line or as a linebacking core, a secondary, and, he'll have a little group talk there and just, kind of go over the last drive and ask questions and, give some advice as to, what we need to do in the next series.
Patriots defensive end Rob Ninkovich joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show, a sack and a forced fumble in this win over the Colts today. Rob, Chandler Jones had to leave this game early. How does that change your responsibilities to lose, your bookend pass rusher?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I don't really know what happened to him on that particular play, but, I had to jump over on the right side, which, really isn't a big deal for me. Obviously, playing linebacker, I'm always, had to go left and right and, play both sides of the line of scrimmage. So, I think that, he'll be back as fast as he can, and whatever it is, we'll be there, to help him out, and hope he gets back as fast as he can.
And finally, Rob, Aqib Talib made his Patriots debut today. What are your initial impressions of him?
Oh, great player. I think he has just a ton of talent, and I think it's his, the past 4 years in the league kind of speaks for itself for, as far as, you know, interceptions that he's made and big plays that he has.
All right, we will leave it there. He is Patriots defensive end Rob Ninkovich, a sack and a forced fumble of Andrew Luck in the Pats' 59-24 win over the Colts. They improved to 7-3. And Rob, congratulations on the win. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
All right, Rob Ninkovich joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We said, what more do you want out of the defense today? A couple of touchdowns, three picks of Andrew Luck, another forced fumble. They hold the Colts to 24 points, and really seven of those were cosmetic at the end of the game. You know, maybe not in the case of Talib, if you have him under your in your crosshairs or under the microscope. But in general, in the context of how the game played out, those 7 points didn't have much of an impact on how the actual game was played. So what more do you want out of the defense today? They shut down Andrew Luck and halted a four-game winning streak for the Indianapolis Colts in conjunction with what the offense did today. And as a caller pointed out, they didn't turn it over at all on offense. Well, head to the podium. Hear what Patriots head coach Bill Belichick thinks coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Let's work through some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Vincent in California. What'd you think of the performance today, Vincent?
Today was amazing. I'm not a big NFL fan in terms of unknown players, but where is Akeem Talib among the top cornerbacks in the NFL? Is he in the top five or six?
I mean, I don't think so, no.
Okay. And my other comment was, why don't the Patriots blitz about 50% more? Because every time they start doing that, good things seem to happen. But I just have this feeling that they don't do that as much as they should.
Well, I don't disagree with that. And Vince and I appreciate the phone call. And a lot of callers and people who email this program or tweet at us or at other Patriots beat writers, you know, the guys on the pregame show, Andy and Ball, they hear it all the time. You know, why don't you dial up more pressure? I think the answer from Bill Belichick's standpoint, you can agree with it or disagree with it as you see fit. But I think Bill Belichick's rationale, his answer is the more you dial those plays up, the more big plays you give up on the back end. Now, I think you can argue, and I've argued this point before, Patriots give up an awful lot of those big plays anyway. They give up another one today on the Hilton touchdown. So they've been giving those up regardless. Why not dial up a little bit more pressure? In other words, how can it get worse? But I will tell you, that's Belichick's philosophy. He doesn't want to get beat over the top on big plays. Doesn't want to give up big plays. And that's fine. He's at least been consistent in that. On Talib, top five or six corner, no. But he is someone in terms of turning you over, ball skills, interceptions. I'm not going to say he's elite, but he's been very good in that regard in the league. And I do think the Patriots can use more of that. And again, I thought it was more bad than good from Akeem Talib today. I've referenced this stat before. By my count, he allowed 6 catches for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns, both of which went to T.Y. Hilton. Also, part of that mixed bag with Talib, he had an interception and had an electric return for a score from 59 yards out. To me, those don't equal one another, and the good doesn't outweigh the bad. But there was some good in there, and I do think that's important from Akeem Talib. And I do think he's going to come in and be right there in the running for your best corner. Not that that's saying much, but I do think he's going to be right there. And for the Patriots, if you're all in on this turn you over, make plays, ball hawking secondary thing, if you're all in on that philosophy, then he's going to be a nice addition. You know, if you want someone who's going to be a shutdown guy and not going to get beat, I think we saw some examples that that's not going to work. But maybe he gets burned here and there, gets beat here and there, but also make some plays, and maybe that trade-off will be worth it. In my view today, again, it was more good than bad, but I do think you can use more playmaking back there. By the way, before we get to this next call, Dennard's the same way. You look at Alphonso Dennard, and you go, 3 picks. He's right there with Tavon Wilson, another rookie who has 4. He got another one late in the game. But to me, the Dennard picks have been more impressive. He's had 3 in 6 games. And I like, in general, what you've seen from Tavon Wilson. As a rookie that everyone thought the Patriots reached for, he's been involved on some poor plays on the back end, including the Sidney Rice touchdown at Seattle. But I think he was thrust into a rough spot early. And I like, in general, what we've seen out of Tavon Wilson. But Alphonso Dennard, you want to talk about playmaking in your secondary, 3 picks in 6 games and an 87-yard return for a touchdown today. That's playmaking. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What'd you think of the game today, Mel?
Hey, I thought it was pretty good. Like I said, I just still had that same feeling of the lack of and the lack of defensive intensity and the slow starts always from defense. I don't know why that was still always like just plagued my mind, and it just bothers me that you know that you put so much kind of pressure on the offense first, and it just always feels like that Belichick or the defensive players, regardless, are just unprepared for the first couple of series. And although I just wish that they would play more, it's like they don't start playing to the second quarter or midway through the second, almost net, you know, maybe halfway through the first. But those first couple of drives, you know, they went right down the field on them. And it's just, I think if they can get that switched around, then, you know, it would just make our team a whole lot better. Because, you know, just like Tlaib and the other teams you go face in the playoffs, I just feel like that a lot of those teams that don't turn the ball over, you know, the Patriots have come off on the losing end of those, you know. And it seems like in the playoffs, now that I can think about it, we turn the ball over in every game from the Jets, the Ravens, you know, the Giants, and all those teams, you know, when they did not turn the ball over, they seemed to come out with the win. I don't think the Jets turned the ball over that year, from that 2010 year, and the Giants did. But, you know, the Ravens and, you know, even the Broncos, I mean, the Patriots, it comes more even. You're not going to get those breaks and stuff like that in the playoffs. So in the long run, I'm still a little bit nervous and worried about the team because I think the turnovers won't be there. So we're just going to play good defense. But like I said, what I've seen from Tlaib, at least he was in – it can only get better, but at least he was in position to make plays,
well,
and not just
– And that's one thing that – and Melvin, I appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. I know that's something a lot of people were pointing out early on in the game, and I don't disagree. The 14-yard touchdown to T.Y. Hilton, he was right there in coverage. The other pass earlier on that drive was a 25-yarder to Brazil. And it's like, he was there. The completion still happened. He was right there. That said, he also was bailed out by McCourty on a play down the sideline. If you remember this one early on in the game, it was Brazil. It was in his hands, and McCourty came over and made it a tight play, and maybe Brazil heard footsteps or whatever it was, but it was on the Colts' fifth drive. They had to settle for a Vinatieri field goal. Luck put the throw on the money. Tlaib was beat over the top. And McCourty came over and bailed him out. And Tlaib was beaten on a similar play without safety help on the Hilton touchdown for 41 yards. So I think there were some plays where, yes, he was there in coverage and he was step for step. And there were other plays where he was beat, especially on some of those vertical routes. The play that I'm referencing with McCourty, if you remember it, Brazil gave him a couple of jab steps and just dusted him. I mean, left him borderline standing still. So I have not said bench him. I haven't said move on. I just think it was more bad than good today out of Aqib Tlaib. That's all. And the interception return was an obvious highlight reel play and an obvious plus play for the Patriots. You know, when that happened, it puts you in front 21-14. And really, the Patriots didn't look back much from there. You know, from that point forward, they were up 24-17 rather, at halftime, and then ran away in the second half. So that was a major turning point in the game. But I also think he was beat quite a bit. And we referenced the game earlier on the pregame show where he was beat quite a bit by the Giants receivers. So it's not like it's the first time that's happened. So that's all. We've had one game to react and, you know, I guess build a consensus on what we saw out of Aqib Tlaib. And again, today I saw him get beat quite a bit. That's all. And the interception he had was a throw right to him when Vince Wilfork collapsed the pocket and Andrew Luck airmailed one. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You've already heard from Patriots defensive end Rob Ninkovich following the team's 59-24 win here in Foxborough over the Indianapolis Colts. Let's head to the podium and hear from the head coach, Bill Belichick.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a real nice job by the players today. You know, we got great contributions from all three phases of our team. And players really stepped up and delivered some big plays throughout the game. I thought we played good complementary football, you know, as all three units worked together. But, you know, the players really, they did a good job. They did a great job of executing, you know, and playing for 60 minutes. And you know, I thought we did enough good things out there, obviously, to win. And so, you know, that was good to see. But they deserve a lot of credit. It was a good week of practice, good week of preparation. and that showed up on the field. Not perfect, but I'll take it.
What were your impressions of the work that Keith Lee did?
I'll have to take a look at the film. I mean, it's great to see him run back the touchdown, interception. But that was, we'll take a look at everybody. I couldn't tell.
Overall, going into the game, was his presence something that you guys were able to maybe maximize some different things in terms of coverages, hooking him around?
No, not really. Yeah, we didn't change much defensively.
What was a textbook Julian Edelman good game?
Yeah, Julian had a couple big plays for us, and you know he's another guy that's worked hard. You know, he missed some time there after the Baltimore game, and has really worked hard to, you know, do everything to get back, the return game, the passing game, you know, slip screens, stuff like that, blocking. So that was great. I mean, he had obviously a real productive day, and we needed that. It's good. It's good to, you know, compliment some of the other production we had out there.
Rob, too, from the game just high street.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rob's, you know, he does a great job for us, blocking, receiving, you know, third down, red area. I mean, he's a good player. You know, I thought our guys on defense did a good job. We got our hands on a lot of balls. We dropped a few. We caught some. You know, I thought we were able to put some pressure on him. He's active in the pocket, and you know, he can avoid some pressure in there. But I thought we did a good job of getting on him. Those receivers made some really good catches. There was five or six times where I thought we were kind of draped all over him. Didn't seem like there was much space at all to get the ball in, and he got it in, and they caught it. Then there was other times we got our hands on the ball and didn't catch them. There was other times we got our hands on the ball and we did catch them. So, and I thought it was competitive, but they made some good plays. They got a good group of skilled players, and they made some good throws and tough catches in there where I thought we, you know, had them covered pretty well, but they still were able to execute it. Yeah, well, we'll watch film on that too. But I mean, I thought overall we had some pressure on the quarterback. You know, we either hit him or, you know, made him move around back there a little bit. Then we had our moments.
Without seeing the film, can you give any kind of appraisal of the offensive line's work in getting protection for Brady?
Yeah, you know, better in protection probably overall than in the running game. But you know, we had a couple long runs on some outside plays, but really they did a good job stopping the run. I thought our line did a pretty good job protecting, but again, that really ties in with the receivers because you know, if guys are open, then the quarterback doesn't have to hold the ball. We can get rid of it, and Tom does a good job of that. So, you know, that was something we really emphasized with receivers this week, was that if they played a lot of man coverage, which they did, that, you know, we'd have to get open quickly so we didn't have to stand back there and hold the ball and, you know, wait all day for them to, you know, get open. And they did that, so it was good. Good complimentary football all the way around.
Bill, it was hard not to notice that after the Colts' second score, you were with the defense a lot on the whiteboard. You were there for a while. What was the message to the guys there at that point in the game? Because it seemed like you guys had a much better product at that point.
We were talking about the plays that happened earlier in the game. Nothing that we hadn't worked on. All right. See you soon.
All right, that's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 59-24 win over the Colts here in Foxborough. See you soon, huh? Is that an inkling to the short week? Is that what that is, Collins? Because apparently...
So how long are we going here?
Apparently, they were in a rush out of the locker room after the game. And that could be part of the reason, and I'm seeing a lot of tweets on this, that Gronkowski wasn't in the Patriots locker room after the game. Now, we know he's been dealing with stuff all season, but a couple of different people, Tom Curran, Greg Bedard, pointing out that he wasn't in the locker room after the game. Maybe it's just because it's a quick turnaround. and they want to get home, get rested. But Mike Reese tweeted this out. Kevin, you said this as well. Gronkowski left the game early and wasn't out there for that final series. Now, the game is completely elementary at that point. It's out of sorts. It's not a close game. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe he was dinged up. They didn't want him to keep going. I would say that's a situation that bears monitoring, similar to Welker the last couple of weeks. Left early, although I don't think this was anything quite as egregious as what Welker went through, but left the game early, bears monitoring. And I would say the fact that he wasn't in the locker room would give you pause, and it's certainly not good news. Let's put it to you that way. I don't think it's definitively bad, but if he were in the locker room laughing and joking after the game, you know it was no big deal. The fact that he's not in there at least makes you raise an eyebrow. Squeeze in a phone call here, 508-298-0398. Robin is in Florida. What'd you think of that game today, Robin?
Oh, that was a great game. See you soon. I love that. That's priceless.
Yeah. see you on my holiday is what Belichick's saying, yeah.
Great game. Very excited. Hey, listen, I'm really excited about, I think you and Andy had talked about it earlier, about just the lack of quality in our conference. I mean, Houston struggling with Jacksonville today.
Yep.
I think if we can get that second seed, I think we'll be in great shape. And I'm just still trying to figure out why they had to rush Hernandez back, you know, after that couple of weeks. If they just would have given him the rest, I think we could have a nice, healthy Hernandez right now. I think that's huge, not having him healthy right now.
Well, I mean, I do agree with that somewhat, and I appreciate the phone call, Robin, in that you want him out there. I mean, obviously, he's one of your better players. That said, they have something working on offense right now. We've seen it these last three games. The Rams game, the Bills game, and now this game, they've figured it out on offense. They're firing on all cylinders. I don't see how Hernandez would hurt that, but at the same point, we were told before the year, oh, Hernandez is their most important guy. He's their most important offensive player. That's what Schefter said on ESPN when he went down. I thought that was a weird comment at the time, but we heard it. Oh, he's their best offensive player, and how are they going to do without him? Well, they struggled initially. They've figured it out. So I'm not saying you don't want Aaron Hernandez back. You clearly do. He's one of your better offensive players. But they got things working right now. 59 points today, yes. Seven of them came on special teams, and 14 more came by the defense. But they have things clicking on offense these last three games. So, yes, you want him back. Yes, they rushed him back for Seattle. Yes, it was dumb. But if for some reason he's going to be dealing with this all season, I don't think that's going to be an issue. Offensively, they're clicking. They're piling up yards. They're piling up points. I think they can overcome that loss. But, of course, you want your best players out there in a postseason game when the stakes are their largest. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll continue with the feedback, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You just heard from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick. We'll head back to the podium and hear from the quarterback, Tom Brady, next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Second and final hour, Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. Already heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. We'll head back to the podium coming up here in a little bit. You hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady as well. We'll get in your feedback, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. And I've said a few different things. The offense is clicking. It's beyond obvious these last three games. It is clicking at a higher level. You know, the defense today, I thought, had arguably their strongest performance of the season, at least since early in the season, with the four turnovers today, just one sack of Andrew Luck. But I haven't once sat there and referenced, oh, Luck threw for 300 passing yards today. They carved up the secondary. No. I think in general, the defense had a beyond solid game. However, there were a couple of guys I singled out in the secondary today, and I don't know how you couldn't have been watching Aqib Talib like a hawk in that game today. It's the first time you get a look at him in a Patriots uniform. So he was someone I had under the microscope, and I thought he and Kyle Arrington both were poor. Now, Arrington was worse. He got demoted not once but twice in this game. He started at right corner. Dennard passed him. After the first drive, he had the one bad pass interference, and he was done. And then he was the nickel corner. And then he was replaced by Marquise Cole. So he had a poor day, but we know that he struggled all season. I've come in, I don't know how many times, and talked about him on this postgame show. He struggled since the preseason, through the regular season, right up again until today, to the point where I don't know if he's anything more than a nickel corner, and I'm not even sure he's that with the way he's played this season. But Aqib Talib's the obvious guy, I think, that Patriots fans were going to be focused in on. And I do think it was a mixed bag from him today. We can all agree on that. It was some good and some bad from Talib today. No one's saying he played a perfect game. No one's saying he played an abysmal game. He had an interception return for a touchdown with a highly athletic play, an electrifying return from 59 yards out. Something I'm not sure anyone else in the Patriots secondary can do. Weaving in and out of the defense and waiting for his blockers, that was special. But it also came on a sailed throw that was gift-wrapped to him, and he was beaten coverage quite a bit. So we all agree it was a mixed bag. At least I think anyone impartially observing this team would agree it was a mixed bag. Was it more good or bad from Tlaib? It's something we've been working our way through. I think it was more bad. I'm not saying bench him. I'm not saying it was a bad trade. To the contrary, I think he should keep playing left corner. And I love the idea of the trade. Even if he plays like crap, I love the idea of the trade. So I want to get into some of the feedback on Aqib Tlaib because we're getting a ton of emails on it to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Keith writes in. And I love these emails from Keith because him and I see things differently. And we've singled out a bunch of his emails on the show before. He writes in, Adam, consider the points below about Aqib Tlaib's play today. One, Patriots are a game plan defense, and Belichick's game plan today was probably get the F back because of the speed of the Colts receivers on the field. That doesn't play well to Tlaib's style, as he is a cover press corner. All right, that's point one from Keith. Point two, he looked better in one game than all the other Patriots cornerbacks on the roster this year combined. I would beg to differ with that as well. Point three, I don't blame you for the crappy analysis of Tlaib's play. I blame Belichick for starving us fans by drafting bad cornerbacks for the past 5 years, and when we finally get a better-than-average player, every player, rather than good or bad, is an event, which causes you to sound like an overly objective moron. My last point, if you ever played football, you'd know players are going to make plays and also get burnt on plays. It's just the way the game is played when everyone is playing at a high level. Stop picking on Tlaib and judge him in 2 weeks if he's consistently getting beat like your BFF, Kyle Arrington. And again, that's Keith writing in from Dallas, Texas, to webradiopatriots.com. And I encourage the discourse. I like hearing from Keith. A couple of things. One, Arrington is far from my BFF. Him and Sterling Moore have been in my crosshair since the preseason, just about every week. McCourty's been on and off it. McCourty's had good games and bad games. Those two guys have been consistently bad. Also, you want to just judge him in 2 weeks? Like, we shouldn't talk about what we saw out of Aqib Tlaib at all. Let's just wait for 2 weeks to come in and evaluate what he did. To me, that's silly. So, you're right. We can't make any closing broad judgments on Aqib Tlaib, but I can give you my observations from today. I can tell you how he played today. I don't know what it means going forward. I don't know if he's still going to be their left cornerback come the postseason. Maybe he'll be a Pro Bowler come the postseason. I don't know. But I can tell you what I saw today. And to me, it was more good than bad. Granted, that's a judgment call, but it was more good than bad. On a few of his other points, he's more of a press corner. Are we going to see the Patriots do that with him? I don't know. He's been more of a press corner in Tampa Bay. Is that what they're going to have him do here today? I have no idea. But I can tell you, even if they were playing off the line of scrimmage, get the F back. He was beaten a couple of times over the top. I referenced those plays earlier. One was a touchdown by T.Y. Hilton. No safety help, if you want to say, whatever. Poor scheme, and he got beat over the top. Fine. But there was the play where he got bailed out by McCourty earlier, where he was torched by Brazil for a play that he probably should have caught, and McCourty came over late and the Colts had to settle for a field goal. You know, it would have brought him down to the inside the 10, whatever it was, the 5-yard line, somewhere thereabouts. So maybe that doesn't play to his strengths, and maybe that is part of the reason why he got beat. I question how much they're going to put him in his strengths. How much are they going to have him press and potentially be on an island? It's something we talked about a lot on the pregame show. I don't think they do that because it's not what they do with anyone. And I don't think he looked better in this game than other Patriots cornerbacks have looked this season. The one guy who I think has looked better outside of the last 2 weeks, and I thought he looked great again today, is Dennard. You know, I didn't have a lot of marks in my notes, or a lot of notes, rather, on Dennard getting beat today because it didn't happen. You know, I have a 19-yard catch to Reggie Wayne where he was in coverage and McCourty was late coming over the top. You know, and I had Andrew Luck miss Brazil down the field, and Dennard was in coverage, and I chalked that up more to Luck than the coverage from Dennard. Other than that, I thought he was pretty good today. I'm not saying he gave up no other completions, but I thought he was pretty good. And I think he's, on balance, looked pretty good over the course of the season. I also think there have been games where McCourty's looked good. Now, he's been up and down, but there have been games where McCourty's looked good. So to say Tlaib's game today was better than any other game of corners had. It's just, I just completely disagree with it. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's continue with some of these phone calls here. Or emails, rather. Jake writes in, Adam, love what I saw from Tlaib. Even though he had some bad plays, I feel the trickle-down on the entire defense was evident today. Seems Belichick is more comfortable dialing up blitzes, knowing the coverage is better. Also, with Tlaib, it allows Dennard to cover the number two receiver instead of the number one, and so on, which I think will have a great effect on the defense. Also allows Arrington to stay on the sideline more, which may be the biggest upgrade. And then that's Jake writing in from Pittsburgh. I do think that that is a factor, and it's part of the reason why I like the idea of bringing Tlaib in. And I've said that from day one. You know, I've never come on and said, oh, they're bringing in a bad character guy, or they gave up too much. Who cares? It's a fourth-round pick. It's a fourth-round pick. So I haven't hated on the trade in terms of what they gave up, the draft capital they gave up, none of those things, or even the character stuff. I haven't said any of that with Aqib Tlaib. I've only wanted to judge him on his play, and I've come in and thought that he's going to be one of your best four DBs. I did a whole postgame show on it last week. I think he's going to make McCourty stick at safety, which is better for the secondary. And as I said last week, and as Belichick quickly found out in the game today, it should be Tlaib and Dennard as your corners. And yet he started the game with Tlaib and Arrington. And I tweeted it right off the top of the game today. You can go back and read it. Arrington gets torched on the opening drive, and I said, how long are they going to stick with this? And it turned out, by the next drive, Dennard was out there, and he deserved to be out there. And I did a whole postgame show on this last week. I said, your four best DBs, Tlaib, Dennard at corner, McCourty and Chung at safety, when healthy. And I believe that. So I do think the trickle-down effect is there. And Dennard's a guy who I think needs to keep playing. He hasn't been perfect either. But he's looked good, and he's been competitive. Last week against the Bills was probably his worst game. And the game before that against Seattle, he was beat as well. Hasn't been perfect. But there's no chance, no chance, I would keep playing Arrington over him. And I hope that was underscored today for Bill Belichick. Like, to me, he saw all he needed to see on that opening drive. Maybe that was the last chance he gave Arrington as an outside corner. Maybe he can still play some nickel and some slot, because honestly, I'm not sold on Marquise Cole either. So he can still play there if you want, but he can't be one of your top two outside corners. He can't be. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Meg writes in. Adam, I give Tlaib a pass. It's his first game, and it's going to be a scheme being played here, so he has to get integrated into the defense. I do want to reiterate this. You know, Tlaib, yes, it's his first week here or his first game here, but it's not his first week here. You know, he had a full week of practice. So the only reason I say that is to point out that anybody who changes teams in the middle of the season has to go through that. He got an extra week than, you know, some of the other guys would. Other players who have switched teams in season, not just through trades, but, you know, being cut or promoted off another practice squad or something of that nature. So he had an extra week than most people get. That's all I'll say. It's certainly still a difficult uphill thing to learn a whole new defense. I'd agree with that. But he had an extra week than most people get because he was suspended by the league. Also, writes Meg, I think that interception, while easy, was a momentum change for the game. The run back gave the Patriots a bit of a lift. And I watched Tlaib actually bump and hit receivers coming off the line, so I feel okay about him. Maybe I'm extremely positive, but I think he'll start playing better as times go by. Again, haven't once said bench him. Haven't once said you can't keep trotting him out there. None of those things. But I will agree with this. It was a momentum changer. It was a huge play in the game. It was obviously a huge play in the game. But part of it was gift-wrapped. Now, part of it was gift-wrapped by another player on his team, Vince Wilfork, getting pressure on the quarterback, Andrew Luck, who airmailed the throw and sailed it right into the arms of Tlaib. I think a lot of people can come up with that interception. You know, I think a lot of people can make the pick. There aren't a lot of people in that league who can do the return that Tlaib did. That, to me, is the difference. So if you don't get the gift-wrapped, airmailed throw, you don't get the return. You don't get the other part of the package with it. And that's what I found impressive about it. But it's not like he stepped in front of a receiver or baited the quarterback or anything like that. It was a sailed throw. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. And look, we can't make any sweeping generalizations about Tlaib. All I know is that today he got beat more often than not. That's all I know. Now, he was going against a quarterback who came in hot, and I think some pretty good receivers. So, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. But you're looking at this thing, and you wonder, did you get more good or more bad out of Aqib Talib today? I think that's the right way to phrase it. It was a mixed bag. But if you had to lean one way or the other, how would you lean? I would lean towards the bad side. By the way, one quick update here. And I'm seeing the tweet from Roto World. But the tweet is, Patriots fear broken forearm for Rob Gronkowski. Patriots reportedly fear Rob Gronkowski sustained a broken forearm in Sunday's win over the Indianapolis Colts. And I will tell you, as I'm scrolling through some of the other tweets and other updates from the Patriots, Greg Bedard has retweeted it, Pro Football Talk, saying Gronkowski having x-rays on his forearm. Patriots fear a forearm injury for Rob Gronkowski. Well, I'd say that's significant. As someone who left the game very late when the game was in doubt, that's something that's significant. The way he's been playing, we've talked about how healthy he's looked and how good he's looked on the field these last couple of weeks. Today, with two more touchdowns, he's had 10-plus in three straight seasons, the first tight end ever in the history of the NFL to do that. He was just rounding into looking healthy again these last three, four games, whatever it is. And you see the difference he makes when he's fully healthy out there, or at least approaching fully healthy. And now there's a potential broken forearm with Rob Gronkowski. And just reading through some of the tweets, including from Pro Football Talk, that's scary news for the Patriots, who also lost Chandler Jones in this game. So we'll keep you up to speed on the injury front as the news comes out in dribs and drabs. And I'm not saying we'll get anything definitive today, but if they're worried about a broken forearm, even if it's not broken, again, short week, you're turning around, you're playing Thursday. So Chandler Jones, Rob Gronkowski, two guys who left that game, you have to wonder if they're going to be healthy enough to go in that game. I think that's the main takeaway right now when you look at the Patriots on the injury front. Rob Gronkowski, by the way, a favorite target of Tom Brady in this one, a 59-24 win over the Indianapolis Colts. And earlier today, Tom Brady spoke with the media at the podium following the win.
That was awesome. That was a fun day. That was a team win. So got contributions from all three units, and you know, they're 6-3. And you know, we knew our mental toughness would be tested, and I thought our guys responded. So
talk about Edelman, if you would, last week with Wood, doing.
Yeah, well, I think that's the best team football. That's what it's about. So, you know, Julian's been dying to get out there and make plays, and he certainly did today, and we needed it. And next week could be someone else. So
seems like early in the game you guys did something. You haven't, you flex Gronk to the outside, moved him around a little bit, created some opportunities. You got some free releases for you today. Are you shocked by that?
Yeah, we got some good matchups out there. So, you know, I try to take advantage of those where we could, and I thought I missed a few other opportunities where I could have had them. So, you know, it's a short week, quick turnaround, and got to get started on the Jets.
How odd is that sitting down for like 32 minutes to drop that series?
Well, I'll take it if we're scoring. So it didn't matter much. You know, if we're the punt return for the touchdown, interception return for a touchdown, that was awesome. So when you get those type of plays, I mean, those are game-changing plays. You know, I don't remember too many times where we've lost games when we've got returns for touchdowns.
What were you doing on the offensive line, the protection? The ball came up pretty quickly, and Bill was mentioning that wide receivers, if it was man, they had to win quickly. So the ball, you know, overall, it's a very complimentary between you, them, and the offensive line.
Well, it's a great effort. I think it starts with those guys, and when they play well, we play well. So the way they were blocking up front and run game, pass game, I was able to, you know, make my reads, make my throws, and you know, our receivers were really doing a great job getting open. So that's what we needed. It was a you know, defense that's very unique, that puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line, and our guys really stepped up.
And those guys, Donald Thomas and Nick McDonald, stepping into two guys who've been really solid at guard. There's no real drop off. I mean, I'm sure that might be somewhere, but it's not apparent.
Well, they're coached very hard, and I think the expectations for the position and not necessarily for the player. So when Logan's not in there, you know, you got to go in there and play like Logan. So, you know, hopefully we get healthy at some point, and, you know, but until then, you know, that's why there's 53 guys on the roster. So, you know, each of those guys can really step in when they need to. So last question.
Tom Wall would create openings for other people, obviously. He has run 3 years in a row 10 touchdowns. It kind of amazes me. Just don't say somebody else is going to do this. It's like a basketball game. If I watch you carry three, I'm saying, I'm taking away his three.
Sure.
Why don't more teams double the first touchdown. I think he was single covered by a linebacker. Why do guys say that? It's not the
Well, they try. I think it's, you know, definitely something they tried. It's just hard because, okay, do you want to blitz? Do you not want to blitz? Do you, you know, when you're a tight end, you're really in the inside part of the field and you can run basically anywhere you want. It's not like you're an outside receiver where, you know, your route has to complement, you know, other people's routes. I mean, as a tight end, you go, you know, right, left, deep, short. You know, you could really do whatever you want. So, and the more guys you put on them, the less there's on Wes. You know, the less guys you got rushing, the less guys there's on Brandon. You know, Julian, I mean, that's why it's team football.
Do you feel like you have an answer right now for almost anything that defense can go? It just seems like everything is quick.
No, I think we're trying to make improvements. I don't think we're anywhere where we need to be at this point. We got a lot of football left, and this Thursday is going to be a big game. So, look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, it's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium following his club's 59-24 win over the Indianapolis Colts. Patriots move to 7-3. On the year, they've lost just one game at home. It came all the way back in week two against the Arizona Cardinals. Haven't talked a lot about Brady's line tonight. Again, the high standards you have with that quarterback, but I just thought he was outshined. And I really do try to keep it to three on my good list, three on my bad list after the game. Other reporters take liberties with it. I really try to trim it to three. You start doing five, six, seven, eight, you devalue the whole thing. So I thought Brady was great today. 24-35, 331 yards, three touchdowns. In general, was in control of this game, didn't turn it over. So, you know, all the things you're looking for out of your quarterback, I just thought Edelman and Wilfork and Gronkowski all had better performances. And speaking of Gronkowski, just to reiterate, and I want to make sure I do reiterate this to Patriots fans, we know Chandler Jones left this thing early in the game with what was called an ankle or leg injury, didn't return after leaving the game early. Rob Gronkowski also left late, and Pro Football Talk is reporting he's being checked for a possible injury to his forearm. Pro Football Talk has learned Gronkowski's getting x-rays on his forearm this evening following Sunday's blowout win over the Colts, in which he had 7 catches for a 137 and 2 touchdowns. He wasn't made available to the media in the locker room after the game. I told you when we started seeing tweets about that from Bedard and Curran and elsewhere, it's just not a good sign. It's not definitive. Like, we didn't hear from Welker after the Rams game when he twisted his ankle. Patriots had a bye week, and he came back and played last week. He left that game early as well. But it's not an end-all, be-all thing. It's just a, huh, why are these guys not available? Because typically they are. And apparently Gronkowski was getting x-rays on his forearm. So we don't even know if it's hurt. It could just be a ding. Could be a deep bruise. Could be anything of that nature. But even something like that, the issue is exacerbated on a short week. You're turning around and playing again 4 days from now in New York. So even if it's not broken or strained or anything like that, you still got to wonder how quickly he can turn around and play on that thing, given the nature of a short week. And it's not just him, it's Chandler Jones as well. Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. And Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Working our way through some of the feedback here on the postgame show. And I do think the Tlaib stuff is, Patriots fans have seen it differently. You know, no one's closed the book on him, myself included. All the Patriots fans who have called in have said, well, give him a pass. You know, and those have been the most negative ones. Give him a pass. It was his first game, things of that nature. Tlaib himself, by the way, and it sounds like he's blaming conditioning more than anything, and the Patriots did rotate him in and out a few separate times, especially in the second half of the game. I'm just reading from Brian Lowe here, Patriots.com. Aqib Tlaib seemed thrilled to be a part of a rousing win, but also was pretty self-critical of his performance. He mentioned his eyes and his feet not being up to standard today. I got to get a lot better, is the quote from Aqib Tlaib. I got to get a lot better, is what Tlaib said. Is that a conditioning thing? Is it a play thing? I don't know. I just thought there were plays out there that he got beat on. And as an emailer pointed out earlier, yeah, in the secondary, that's the nature of the business. You're going to get beat. But, I don't know, do you get beat on 2 touchdowns all the time? You know, you're going to give up over 100 yards receiving in a game? Now, if it comes with a trade-off of an interception return for a touchdown every single time, maybe Patriots fans would take that. But I don't know. All I've said is that I thought it was a mixed bag. There was good and bad, just more bad than good. That's all. That's all I've said. I haven't said bench him. I would continue to roll him out there at that cornerback spot. You can't do snap judgments and bench a guy after one performance. I haven't said that, and I don't believe that. I've actually repeatedly said, I think he's going to come in and be one of your top four defensive backs and arguably your best corner. So I've been saying that since they got him. But I just think today, in what we can actually evaluate, not speculate, we can actually evaluate on what he did today. He gave up, gave up six catches for over 100 yards and a pair of touchdowns. And he also had the interception return for a touchdown. So mix all of that together. Was it more good or more bad? It's something we've been asking. To 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. And that's where Mark writes in, Adam, you're a DB thinking Tlaib was rubbish today. You're a waste of space. Get lost, you douchebag. I haven't said I thought he was rubbish. You know, I think the interception return is something that not a lot of players can do in this league. Never mind on this team, but in that league, there's not a lot of players who can do what he did on that interception return. Have the patience to weave through the defense like a running back. But there are a lot of people in the league who can catch a ball thrown right to him. You know, outside of Devin McCourty in Baltimore, most players can do that. So I don't think he's rubbish. I didn't think he was a waste of space out there today, and it's not that I don't think there was anything promising out of Aqib Tlaib. I like the trade. I like what you gave up for him. I haven't brought up the character or anything like that off the field. But with Aqib Tlaib today, I think the interception return gets a lot of Patriots fans saying, well, this is what he can bring, that playmaking aspect to the secondary, which they've had for most of the year. They have had playmaking and turnovers in the secondary. They've absolutely had that. I've pointed out 2010 where I thought they had it as well, and it went away in the postseason. But they kept rolling with it last year. They turned you over, and they did it in the postseason as well. They got all the way to the Super Bowl and arguably could have won that game. So I haven't said he's rubbish. I haven't said give up on him. Haven't said demote him. Haven't said bench him. Haven't said any of those things. Just thought with what we can actually evaluate today, it's more bad than good. That's all. More bad than good. And he'll get another opportunity against the Jets on Thursday. And guess what? I wouldn't be surprised if that whole Patriots secondary looks an awful lot better going against Mark Sanchez and the Jets offense. I wouldn't be surprised in the least. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. We'll continue with your feedback here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, and we'll take a look at the rest of the division, including the Patriots' next opponent, the New York Jets. We'll do that next here on patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card, cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Welcome back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here on patriots.com. We'll get to around the AFC East, take a look at how the rest of the division fared. Only one other team in action today is the Bills and Dolphins, played earlier this week up in Buffalo. We'll tell you where the Patriots fit in to the AFC East following their 59-24 win over the Indianapolis Colts here in Foxborough. But the news circulating right now, and we've kept you up to speed on it throughout the course of the show, Rob Gronkowski, we knew, was getting x-rays. We knew he wasn't available in the locker room. That was according to Pro Football Talk, at least the x-rays part of it. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network tweets the following: likely bad news for the Patriots. Team fears Rob Gronkowski has broken forearm, I'm told. So you're talking about a player who had been rounding into form. You know, early in the year, I said this a lot. We heard a lot of feedback about this. Doesn't look like Rob Gronkowski was the same guy from a year ago. And we knew he had off-season surgery. And it seems like slowly, even through bumps and bruises and some of the dings he's had over the course of the season, it seems like, in general, you know, he's picked it up going forward. And health-wise, I'm saying, he's picked it up and started to play like the guy we were all reminded of from last season. So just when you think you're getting that out of Rob Gronkowski, he has an injury when the game is out of reach and the Patriots are already putting it on him. He has two touchdowns, 137 yards, seven more catches, and then he has to leave the game late, wasn't in the locker room, and now, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Curran, also tweets the following as we speak: Rob Gronkowski, broken forearm, according to a source. It's Tom Curran of CSNNE.com. So a couple of reports right now out there that he's going to have a broken forearm. And what does that mean for the Patriots? You know, what does it mean in terms of when do you get him back? Not just, how do you deal with him not being out there? What does it do to your offense now that both he and Hernandez potentially aren't out there? But when do you get him back? Do you get him back? These are some of the questions you'll be dealing with now as a Patriots fan. And I'll tell you what, a broken forearm? Like, Collins, what did Edelman have?
I don't even know, but I'm just doing some quick Google research.
It was the same idea, right? Edelman had broken forearm, broken wrist,
something along those lines. It takes a while.
I mean, you don't know the severity, per se, of this one compared to Julian Edelman's, but I would feel pretty safe in saying it's something similar, right? Or if you're just looking to glance at it and wonder, all right, well, what's the timetable? And not factoring in a player's toughness and the severity of the injury. If you're just looking for a rough guideline, Edelman was hurt in the Baltimore game, September 23rd. Remember, left right at halftime and didn't come back until the Jets game on October 21st. So you're talking a month if you're going to be without Rob Gronkowski, if not more, if these reports are true, with a broken forearm. So as much as the offense is clicking, or was clicking, and as much as we've touched on that throughout the course of this show, you know, at what point do you sort of look at it and say, man, they're going to have to start from scratch now? They might not have Hernandez or Gronkowski next week against the Jets. And given the fact that it's a short week, I would say that's highly doubtful. And now, how much time is he going to miss? Is he going to be back for the playoffs? You know, these are questions you can start asking. We're midway through November. If he's going to miss a month to 6 weeks, is he going to be back for the postseason? Is it more significant than that? So that's scary, scary news on Rob Gronkowski. And again, it's coming from two people, Tom Curran, CSNNE.com, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, both reporting broken forearm for Rob Gronkowski. And it comes on the heels of losing your leading pass rusher, Chandler Jones, earlier in the game as well to an ankle and or leg injury. So a couple of significant blows for the Patriots mixed in to a 59-24 win today over the Indianapolis Colts. We'll take your thoughts on how that impacts the Patriots, who sit here at 7-3 overall on the season. And again, have dropped just the one game at home. Let's work our way through some of these emails to webradio@patriots.com. Maurice in Alabama writes in on Tlaib coming in and out of the game. They're not going to be able to play Tlaib throughout, wire to wire, in other words, because he hadn't played in months. He had to come out of the game because he was so winded. I understand that, and I think that some of that was by design. That's what Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, was tweeting during the game. Seemed like it was by design to keep him fresh because he hasn't played a lot recently. He's been out for a month due to his own idiocy and suspension from the league, but he's been out for a month. So it was probably a conditioning issue with Aqib Tlaib, and it's something that probably won't be the case going forward. Henry writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Adam, great game, and I agree with your bad list. And just to reiterate, I had Tlaib, Arrington, Gostkowski on the bad list in order. In addition to his missed field goal, don't forget about Gostkowski's short kickoffs. There have been a lot of talk about Eli having a tired arm. Could Gostkowski have a tired leg? His kicking today reminded me a lot, I believe, of the Seattle game. And I don't remember a lot of poor kicking in the Seattle game. I think you're referencing the Arizona game here where he missed a couple of kicks. I could be incorrect on that. Henry continues, I'm kind of mixed on Tlaib too. Yeah, he had a pick six and showed some athleticism, but he seems to lack a little quickness. Maybe that's why he gets beat the way he does. Having said that, he brings an element I'm not sure we've seen in the Patriots secondary, and that's a little more size. I've seen many games where Pat's defensive backs were just physically outmatched by bigger, stronger receivers. The addition of him will go a long way in addressing that, i.e. in the Houston game, matched up with Andre Johnson. And again, that's Henry in North Carolina writing in. The size is something I hadn't necessarily considered with Tlaib. In terms of matching up against bigger receivers, it'd be great. But, I don't know, we certainly didn't see him matching up and muscling smaller, quicker receivers. And maybe they were too quick to do that today. Maybe you need to see him matched up on a bigger guy. Look, I don't know exactly how much he was matched up on Reggie Wayne. I know Wayne only had one catch against him, and it was for 6 yards. Now, granted, it was on a third down, and it was a third down conversion. But that's all he got, a 6-yard catch on a third and two in the first half, going head-to-head with Aqib Tlaib. And Reggie Wayne is a bigger, more physical receiver, certainly than T.Y. Hilton is or Donnie Avery is, some of those other Colts options. So I guess that's something we got to see play itself out a bit more. And you'll get Andre Johnson here. You'll see some bigger receivers from San Francisco, Crabtree being one of them. Randy Moss, another taller receiver. I wouldn't call him physical. But, you know, you'll see some of those games coming up for the Patriots, and we'll get a better read on it. Again, I'm not closing the book on Aqib Talib. I just ask you, pick one or the other. Don't just couch it by saying it was a mixed bag, which is what my inclination was to do off the top of the show. I think we all agree it was a mixed bag. Was it more good or more bad in the bag? And for me, I don't know, six catches, over 100 yards, two touchdowns, that outweighs a pick six for a touchdown. It does. That's how I'm viewing it. A lot of you have given me some pushback on it, and that's fine. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Michael writes in from Stockholm, Sweden. Adam, I've been bashing the Patriots secondary all year. And even though I think we allowed a bit too much passing today, it's really hard to complain about them after three picks and a pair of touchdowns. That's a good point. A great win today otherwise, and the offense really produced, even though they had it tough in the red zone at times. That's another excellent point, by the way. This was on my bad list before they punched in a few at the end of the game. Was their goal line running was rough. So they had to settle for a couple of short passing touchdowns early on. If you remember, Gronkowski's touchdown on the first drive from 4 yards out came on a second down after Stephen Ridley got stuffed up at the goal line. Edelman's little 2-yard touchdown, first drive of the second half, came after the Patriots got stacked up twice at the goal line. So I had goal line rushing on there early as an issue for the Patriots. Then Ridley eventually punched one in from 3 yards out. Vereen did the same from 4 yards out. And you look at it and you go, well, okay, they hit on two of their five runs from in close, and it ain't great. But it's also not bad enough to be top of the bad list or anything of that nature. So I took it off, but it's a good point. You know, some of that goal line rushing and that short yardage rushing wasn't quite what we've seen out of the Patriots. Now, we've seen it most of the season, so I felt pretty good about what we've seen on balance, and I trust it going forward, but today it wasn't good. A question, writes Michael. Do you have any update on Chandler Jones? Even though Ninko and Cunningham did a good job today, it doesn't feel good that Jones didn't return for the game after he went off. We don't have an update on Chandler Jones. We do have the update on Rob Gronkowski, which we just gave you a few moments ago, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Tom Curran, CSNNE.com, in case you're just tuning in. Broken forearm for Rob Gronkowski. Two people reporting that. And Pro Football Talk was the first to report he's getting x-rays after the game. And a multitude of reporters said he wasn't available in the locker room after the game. So we don't have an update on Chandler Jones, but I'd agree. That's a blow to the Patriots' front seven pressure. Now, the offshoot of it is, and I think we saw some of this today, does Belichick get a bit more creative in dialing up pressures, bringing the blitz? He brought Dennard at one point. He brought Arrington at another point. We saw Spikes get in there on a linebacker blitz at one point where he just bared down on Andrew Luck and popped him, like we've seen Spikes do an awful lot. So do they get a little bit more creative in terms of bringing the pressure, which a lot of you have called in, voiced your opinion here and elsewhere. A lot of you want to see it. So if that's the case, maybe you get your wish. I don't know. But I would not expect, and this is just a prediction, because it's a short week, I wouldn't expect to see Chandler Jones Thursday night against the Jets. And it sounds like you're definitely not going to see Rob Gronkowski, given the reports that are surfacing. But I would agree. Ninkovich and Cunningham, they've both played well this season, but I think part of the reason they played well is because teams are gearing up a little bit more towards Chandler Jones. Continuing the emails to webradio@patriots.com. Adam writes in there, Adam, the two things that stick out to me today, the rush defense and the rush offense. For the Pats D, typically being stout against the run, it was terrible. Giving up 10-yard runs multiple times to Jag running backs is awful. And those Jag running backs would be Donald Brown, mostly Vic Ballard, who early in the game, he's right, he gouged you a little bit. I didn't think the run defense overall was terrible. I did think it was bad early. They gave up 119 on the ground, 72 to Vic Ballard, including a 20-yarder. Carter had a couple of runs, a 20-yarder and a touchdown from 1 yard out. Donald Brown only had 4 carries. I didn't think they were awful against the run. I thought it was bad in the first half. I thought they tightened up as the game went on. But I agree, they're Jag running backs. I don't disagree with that. The D-line struggled against the run today for me, writes Adam. And remember, they definitely struggled against Buffalo the week before. Big Vince did step up and get a hand on several passes and make a number of impact plays. So I'll take the trade-off. Also, we couldn't run the ball effectively basically the whole game, save for some plays near the goal line to punch it in, which again came late. Those are after they struggled to punch it in from in close earlier. Probably nitpicking, writes Adam, but with the D being awful in pass coverage week to week, They'll need to be able to run or have a more consistent run D to stop playoff-worthy teams like the Texans and Niners late in the season and into the playoffs. Didn't it seem to work out that way? Or didn't see it work out that way today, if you ask me? And again, that's Adam writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Couple of things. One, you're right on the Texans. The way that the Jags hung in that game today, and I watched a good chunk of it, the way the Jags hung in that game today is because they didn't let Arian Foster go nuts. They let Matt Schaub beat him. Now, he eventually did, and Schaub put up boffo numbers today, right? Over 500 yards, five touchdowns. They won in overtime, but I don't know. You know that Arian Foster can churn it out against you and run it up. And they didn't let him. They stacked up the box, and they said, Matt Schaub beat us over the top. And maybe with the Patriots secondary, maybe he'd be able to do it to them too. But that's how you beat the Texans, as an aside. I didn't think the run defense was horrible today. I thought it was bad early, and I thought it tightened up. It was bad against Buffalo, but I gave him a pass there as well because it was C.J. Spiller, who's averaging 7 yards a pop. So it's not just you struggling to tackle C.J. Spiller. However, 2 weeks in a row, they haven't looked quite as stout against the run as they did earlier. So it's something to keep an eye on, but I would still say if the Patriots need to take away a running back in the postseason, if that's the issue, and it's someone like Arian Foster and you need to take him away, if that's how you're going to have to beat a team, I still believe the Patriots can do that. I believe Bill Belichick knows how to scheme it up and take away a running back. We've seen him do it too many times over the course of his career here in Foxborough. So if that's the goal, if that's what they need to do, I still believe they can do it. And maybe I'm being naive on that front, but I still think they can do it. And I think we've seen them do it enough this year against some pretty good backs. Remember, Chris Johnson has started to turn it on over the course of the year. The Patriots were the one who started him in a funk week one. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's take another email here before we take a look around the rest of the division. And it's on Rob Gronkowski, and that is right now really the story of the postgame, with Gronkowski reportedly having a broken forearm, according to both the NFL Network and CSNNE.com. Tony writes in from Toronto to Web Radio, Patriots.com. Adam, can't recall what play Gronk would have been injured on. Can you let me know? Thanks. To be honest, I didn't catch it either. I didn't see this until after the game that he left early. And Kevin, you're there. You saw Gronk leave the sideline early. Did you see what happened on the field?
No, I didn't see the
play. See, I didn't
like
either.
He was standing next to the rest of the offense for most of that last drive, and then when they punched it in, he took off early.
And that was the Vereen touchdown, you're saying? So that was before Mallett was even in the game. Okay, interesting. See, these are, I mean, I'm watching on the monitor here at the end of the game, and to be honest, I didn't even catch it. You know, we all caught Chandler Jones leaving. Rob Gronkowski wasn't reported in the press box. I'm not sure a lot of people were aware of that watching the game, because at the end it was one, the Patriots had opened up a lead. So if you didn't see him out on the field, most people probably looked at it and assumed, like myself, well, he's not out there. I guess he's just not out there because it's a blowout and they don't want to put him in harm's way. But he was walking down the tunnel early, got x-rays after the game, and reportedly a broken forearm. I don't know the play where he got hurt. I certainly didn't see it, and I didn't take note of it when it happened. I'm sure we'll get replays dug up over the course of the day, but that was news to me. We'll continue with your feedback, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We mentioned the Patriots hammer the Indianapolis Colts today in Foxborough, 59-24. Let's take a look at how the rest of the division fared as we go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Mentioned not a ton going on in the division today. Just one other game in action besides the Patriots, who, by the way, moved to 7-3. They remain on top of the AFC East. The New York Jets do improve to 4-6 with a 27-13 win in St. Louis over the Rams. And the Jets were in a somewhat tight game through about a half, and then they got Bilal Powell in the game. Just came back from an injury. They've been rolling with Sean Green as their back, and Bilal Powell came in and made some plays happen on the ground. Had a couple of touchdowns late in the fourth quarter, a five-yarder to start the fourth quarter, and then another one from 11 yards out with 8:29 left, which made it 27-7. The Rams would add a meaningless touchdown later on as the Jets take the win 27-13. And next up for the Jets, we've been talking about it quite a bit on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, your Patriots in New York on Thanksgiving night, and a depleted Patriots team. And not to say that I expect the Jets to win that game, because I don't, but that seems like a good spot if you're the Jets to get the Patriots. Short week, your home field, holiday, and the Patriots are down two of their better players, one on each side of the ball. No Rob Gronkowski, no Chandler Jones. What would you say? Those are two of the at least 10 best players on the Patriots, and there's a good chance neither of them play in that football game. Never mind Logan Mankins, Aaron Hernandez. You know, I guess Wes Welker is somebody who I don't think seems 100% today. I would expect that's why we saw so much of Edelman in this game today, and he was great. But there's another thing. You got a pretty banged-up Patriots team coming in on a short week. It's probably a good time to catch them if you're the Jets. I don't think the Jets beat them, and I have no idea what the spread will be. But if you're going to catch the Patriots on a short week and a banged-up team, this is the time to catch them. That's all I'll say with that game coming up on Thursday, as the Jets would try to inject themselves back in to the AFC East race. They're in a three-way tie for second or last, depending on how you look at it, at 4-6 following their win today. The Buffalo Bills also 4-6 after a 19-14 win over the Miami Dolphins on Thursday night. They got four field goals from Ryan Lindell. They got a 79-yard kickoff return from Leotis McKelvin. His special teams were big in that game for the Buffalo Bills. Next up for them, these same Indianapolis Colts in Indy. And we'll see how that momentum carries over for both teams. Bills got in a tight game with the Patriots 2 weeks ago, lost on the road, and then won at home against the Dolphins. Colts just got hammered on the road against the Patriots. So you can follow that game with each of the Patriots' last two opponents meeting up in Indianapolis next Sunday. And then for Miami, they fall to 4-6. They've lost two in a row. They got smoked by Tennessee 2 weeks ago, lost to the Bills in Buffalo 19-14. Next up for them, the Seattle Seahawks, a team that is much more difficult at home. At least Miami gets them in their building instead of up in Seattle, which the Patriots experienced firsthand. But that's what's coming up for the Miami Dolphins. They're a team that certainly seems like they're going down the tubes in the AFC East after a nice start to get to 4-4. So that's around the AFC East, taking a look. Or the Patriots slot in the division. You're getting to that point where they've already beaten all three of these teams. You know, they've beaten the Bills twice. They've already beaten the Jets. Excuse me, they have not beaten the Miami Dolphins yet. But you're sitting there at 3-0 in the division, and you look around and you say, okay, it's time to start looking at playoff seeding in the AFC. Where do you fit into the conference? And I think that's how a lot of Patriots fans are at least looking at it, and whether or not they'll admit it in Foxborough, it's probably where they're shifting gears as well. The division seems like somewhat of a foregone conclusion, as the Patriots, the only team right now over 500, though it is a tough spot on a short week when you're dinged up going into New York to play the Jets on Thanksgiving night. Let's go back to the emails. webradio@patriots.com. It's where Rich writes in. Adam, why during a blowout are the likes of Brady, Gronk, and Welker still playing? Easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, of course, but the question still stands. And again, that's Rich writing into webradio@patriots.com. I would say Welker, to me, is the most odd out of those three. They always leave Brady in. Always. You know, he came out for the final drive or whatever it was with Ryan Mallett out there, but rarely. Even in games where they roll it up, we said this is the second time they scored 59 points in franchise history. The other time was against Tennessee in 2009. Brady played a good chunk of that game, too. So it's what they do with Brady. Like it or not, they're consistent with it. Gronkowski, to me, yeah, you have four tight ends, but I don't know. I feel like leaving a tight end out there is a little different than leaving someone like Wes Welker, who we thought was somewhat of a game-time decision and missed practice this week. He, to me, is the weirdest one because he's so dinged up. If you're healthy, even at the end of some of these blowouts, at a position like tight end, I'm not overly surprised he was out there. It's unfortunate what happened. But if it were Welker, who were dinged up during the week and didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday, I'd feel differently about it than I do with Gronkowski. Injuries happen in the game, and you can't bench everyone at the end of a blowout. Gronkowski's been on and off the injury report, but he's also been practicing. So I don't know. I don't have a problem with him being out there at the end of the game. As the emailer said, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback. I can't get worked up over that one. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com. Joseph writes in to us. Just an observation, Adam. Didn't seem like the guards were getting killed trying to run block. Or did it, rather? Seemed like the guards were getting killed trying to run block. I agree. The pass protection was solid up the middle, but we couldn't do anything to open up holes for Ridley or Vereen. I want my starting guards back. And again, that's Joseph writing into webradio at patriots.com. Well, yes, I want them back as well. You're a better team with Logan Mankins and Dan Connolly. Zero argument here. But I think those two have done a pretty good job filling in. And maybe you haven't been as dominant in the run game, but think back to the Buffalo game the week before. Run game was fine. Those are your two backup guards in that one. I thought they did a pretty good job. And more importantly, the 2 weeks they've been out there, they protected Tom Brady. For the week and a half they've been out there, they protected Tom Brady, which should be their number one job. Don't get Brady's block knocked off. And if running is secondary with your backup guards, then it is. Tony writes in, web radio, patriots.com. Adam, loving the team right now. We're here in the fourth quarter, and the defense has two picks returned for a touchdown, a special teams punt returned for a touchdown, and Tom Brady looks like a freaking laser.
Can I interrupt you for a sec?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you just read the Schefter tweet?
No.
He's confirming that it is broken and that he did it on the last point after attempt, the Patriots said.
So, whatever. The confirming the injury, and I'll get back to the email in a second. I mean, obviously, that's something that we've already seen confirmed by a couple of different sources. But doing it on an extra point, well, okay, maybe I feel a little bit differently than I did 2 seconds ago about the last email where I said, well, okay, like, he hasn't been on the injury report, so I don't have a problem with him being in the game. But being in the game and out there on plays and blocking and doing what you typically do and being out there on a two-point conversion or an extra point, rather, I don't know. That's iffy. He's told he did it on the last extra point. Yikes. So the Vereen touchdown, that's when he did it. Or the extra point following the Vereen touchdown, that's when he did it. I didn't catch it. But Adam Schefter putting it out there on Twitter that the Patriots are going to be without Rob Gronkowski due to a broken forearm, and that he did it on the last extra point. I don't know. The fact that special teams feels a little bit different, I still think it's hard to get all over the Patriots, but it does feel a little bit different. Just wrapping up with that email, though, before we get out of here, one more thing. I know McCourty was going to see more reps at safety since last year. He looks more fluid, more responsive, and a better decision maker. I agree. And that's Tony writing into webradio at patriots.com. That's why I thought the addition of Tlaib was big. Thought he was a mixed bag today and more bad than good, but I still like the addition. You pair him with Dennard, keep McCourty at safety, and mix in Chung or Gregory, whoever's healthy, preferably Chung when he's out there, but he hasn't been healthy enough. But those are your four best DBs. That's how I continue to roll. And I think both Dennard and Tlaib made plays in this one today. I think Tlaib also left something to be desired out there. You have another update there, Kevin?
Yeah, he's tweeting that Gronk has been informed that the initial timetable is 4 to 6 weeks for his broken
forearm. Being Rappaport? Yeah. We're seeing the same tweet?
No. Rappaport. Sorry, my fault.
I'm seeing the same thing.
Schefter is, retweeted it or something.
Early word. Tweets Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Early word. Been informed the timetable is 4 to 6 weeks with a broken forearm. Not good. Could be worse. So you hope you have him back for the playoffs. But that's what we said. Julian Edelman missed a month. With a broken wrist or a broken forearm, some type of forearm injury, he missed a month. So you got to start there with Gronkowski in best-case scenario, say, all right, maybe he's a quick healer, maybe he's a little tougher 3 weeks.
And I know this is really, really sunny side for me,
yep.
But I'd much rather have it be his arm than, like, a knee.
Well, I mean, yes, I don't disagree.
Because at least he can do some sort of football activities and keep working out his legs and keeping his conditioning up and all that type of stuff. I would just feel a whole lot worse if it was like a high ankle sprain or a knee or something like that.
Yeah. So, look, it could be worse. And the fact that he might even be available for the postseason, obviously a silver lining for the Patriots. But short term, that's a big blow, especially because you're already without Aaron Hernandez. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know with Rob Gronkowski potentially missing 4 to 6 weeks with a broken forearm. And it comes on the heels of losing Chandler Jones earlier in the day. Look, it's a great day for the Patriots. They beat the Colts, hammer them. 59-24 here in Foxborough, but that is some somber news here at the tail end of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. That'll do it from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'll be back here on Thursday talking to you on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, leading you up to the Jets game on Thanksgiving night. And then I'll talk to you, of course, as I always do, right here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Show. One, two, three.
need new shoes.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. This Thursday, the Patriots take on the New York Jets. The Thanksgiving night kickoff from MetLife Stadium is set for 8:20 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 6 p.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.